Okay, we're going to go ahead and get started this morning with our lesson. Okay, we're going to go ahead and get started with our lesson today. And happy to see some of our new faces, some of our returning faces. I know we're getting out. We're summer's over. We're past Labor Day. So everybody's coming back. Yeah. So that's great. I hope you had a great summer. And so we are currently in What Is and Isn't Prayer. This is in our book, The Battle Plan for Prayer. And this is session number 5, I believe, that we're in right now. And yes, we are, just to do a little bit of review, we did a whole day on just talking about the presence of God and the importance of the presence of God in your life and how to pursue the presence of God in your life, not just in church, but personally pursuing the presence of God in your life and what a difference it makes. And we talked about all of those different things. We talked about, we started the week before last talking about what is prayer, to re-examine your definition of prayer. And that's on which page of our lesson there? We have two different numbers, okay.
32 at the bottom.
32, and those that you have a new lesson, look for the heading, What is Prayer? Re-examine your definition of prayer. That's where we are. You're just a few pages in, and you'll see that. And that's where we are. You know, we talked about a little bit about communion. You know, that if you're not communing with God, it isn't prayer, folks. That's this whole lesson is about what is and isn't prayer. Prayer is not just saying words. It's not just a bunch of mundane verses. It is about connecting, communing with God and touching Him. And once you've done it, once you've really pressed in and you've connected with God, and you know it, no one has to tell you when you've connected with God, you know it here.
Yes, yes.
That, oh, I know I connected, I'm different when I come out of my prayer closet. That is what prayer is communion. And communion with God, it makes your relationship with God intimate when you know Him in that way. We talked about just the different sets, questions that you have to ask. Be honest about your relationship with God. I mean, most of us, you know, many that back when we were kids, we got saved because we didn't want to go to hell. That's why we got saved, because we did not want, that was it. It wasn't about loving God. It wasn't about caring about Jesus or anything like that. It was because we did not want to go to hell. You know, so as we got older and you're beginning to understand your relationship and your salvation, you have to ask yourself an honest question. Do you love God? Do you, you know, because God, you know, He's so different than what we used to be, you know, and He's asking us to do these things that we don't necessarily like to do. I mean, let's just be honest. He's asking us, I mean, you read his word and you're like, man, you can't do that and you can't do that anymore. You know, you might not just feel these warm fuzzies about God. So you really have to ask yourself, do I love God? And if I don't, do I want to get to know God and love God? Because I'm telling you, folks, I'll tell you this. Not because I read it in a book, but because I've lived it. As you get to know God, the more you'll love Him.
Yes.
The more you'll trust Him. The more you'll say to yourself, how did I make it before I knew Him?
Amen.
But ask yourself, what do I feel about God? Do you love Him? And be honest with that. And then take that to Him. Lord, I want to love You, but I just, you know, there's things I'm struggling through. Be honest. That's communion. That's honest conversation with God. So that's what we want to do. We want to re-examine our relationship with God, re-examine our definition of prayer, that it means communion with Him, connecting with Him. And if that's not happening, boy, you really want to work on that. Lord, why am I not connecting with You? Why is it a chore to pray? Why do I feel like I'm dragging myself to pray? And, you know, I make excuses not to pray or not to pray in a prayer group. That tells you something about what you feel about God. You know, just being honest, we've all been there. We all are on that journey, okay? So I'm not saying that, you know, you bad person, because, you know, we all had to go on that journey. And God knows you have to go on that journey. And that's why He loves us and He's so gracious. And when He shouldn't help us, He helps us, because He wants you to know how much He loves you so that you come to a place of loving Him. You know, the old song says, oh, how I love Jesus, mm-hmm. because he first loved me. And that's what the journey that we're on right now. You know, how do we come to a place of loving God? Because when you love somebody, it's easy to commune with them. Because you trust them. You want to be around them. You want to pray. You can pray without ceasing. That's not a big deal anymore. Because now, Lord, you're instant. I can pray with you instantly. And I'm getting ahead on our lesson, so let me get into it.
And
our lesson.
I had to realize that he was real.
So, yes.
That
yes.
he was real.
Yes.
And that he
yeah.
was who he said he
yeah.
was. That he wasn't up there floating around somewhere.
Absolutely.
That he is real.
He is absolutely
yeah.
real.
And that was
yeah.
a real awakening for me.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it is an awakening. Just like Virginia said, it is an awakening. Mm-hmm. Because even after you come to salvation, I think we have no idea what we did when we gave our life to Jesus.
No.
We just went up there because, I don't know, it just seemed like the right thing. I heard the preacher. My heart was convicted and I came down, you know. As I said, oh, I don't want to go to hell. Let me go down there and give my life to Jesus. And you don't know what you did that day. You don't realize that. You spend the rest of your life figuring out what you did on that day. And it's a beautiful journey. It's a wonderful journey. But you have to keep moving on the journey. And again, I'm getting led ahead on what some of the things I wanted to say. So last class, we talked about prayer and communion what is prayer? Prayer is communion with God. This time we want to talk some more about communion with God. And it's item number 2 under what is prayer. And it says, prayer is communion with God in order to understand and conform our lives to his will and his ways. And this is from our book, Battle Plan for Prayer. This communion or connection with God changes us. That's why we want to pursue it. That's why we don't want this superficial relationship with God, because it changes us. Our human pride fades in the light of his love and wisdom. Our desire to please him grows as we understand his will and ways are always toward loving us and others. So you got to get that. It's not about spoiling your fun or ruining the things that you want to do or you want that relationship. Trust me, God has more intel on that individual than you ever will. And if he says it's a no, or he pulls you away from that relationship, there is a reason why. And it's always because he loves you and he loves them. We grow. Your lesson says we grow to trust his love. As we pray, God reveals his will and ways to us and then starts to align our hearts and minds with his. And again, that's a quote from our book. We stop resisting his ways and we finally surrender to his awesome lordship. Because even after you come to salvation, folks, there is a battle going on between your flesh and your will and your emotions and the will of God. Okay, and there comes a place where you get to a place of surrender. And it's not just this complete surrender. I wish it was, but it's not. It's surrendering one thing at a time. You know, you got to surrender that relationship. I got to surrender, you know, where I'm working sometimes. I got to surrender what the plan I had for my life. So it's one by one we surrender. We finally surrender. And sometimes that involved going around the mountain over and over again, not making any progress, hitting our head against a wall multiple times before we finally come and surrender to his lordship. Sometimes we even fail to recognize our resistance to him. But as you stay in his presence, the attitude of your own resistance to change is revealed and you come to surrender. Sometimes you don't even realize you're resisting. You know, I mean, you just have this like secret attitude, you know, and you don't even want to acknowledge that you have it. Got to go to church again. Got to go to church every Sunday. You know, oh my goodness. When is he going to finish up? You know, the preacher's preaching. When are they going to finish? You know? So you guys got to go to you go to Sunday school and church, you know, I mean, it's just this resistance we have. Bible study. Oh my God. In my house. Oh my God. You know, so we have this resistance to coming to him and learning of him. We have this resistance to prayer, you know, your personal prayer at home. How often do you have it? You know, okay, God, I'm giving you my 5 minutes and, you know, and forget having a war room. I'm just going to give you your 5 minutes on the way to work, you know, because we are resistant. Our flesh, and you know, and it's not to be hard on ourselves. Our flesh, it doesn't want to get up.
No,
it does not want to pray. You know, that old self that we're, that, you know, Jesus is changing, does not want to leave. And of course, on top of all of that, you got the enemy that's taunting you and wooing you back to the way you used to be. You know, so again, you have to recognize your resistance, you know, because sometimes you don't even see how resistant you are to the ways of God. And forgiveness, oh, that's a biggie. Oh, my God, you don't know what they did to me, you know. So again, as we recognize that and we see how unlike our heart, how our heart is so unlike his, we come to a place of surrender. I was, I'm reminding of, we were watching, Chris and I were watching the movie, The Hiding Place. You probably have seen it with the Lord, the movie of Corrie ten Boom, and that scene when they're in the concentration camp and they had just beaten her sister, and she could just look on her face and you could see the hatred she had for the Germans. She just hated and hated, and her sister looked at her face, you know, her sister who had just been beaten looked at her face and said, "No hate, Corrie, no hate." And I'm like, oh, God, you know, who wouldn't feel that way? But that is not who he is, folks. Even in that instant, she said no hate because that's who our Lord is. But Corrie's mind, it was resisting that. I don't want to forgive them. I want to hate them. I want to hurt them. You know, so again, that's what I'm talking about, folks. When it comes to being like Jesus, oh, on any given day, we are insulted, you are mistreated, your pride is trampled on. It happens daily on planet Earth.
Yes.
Somebody says something the wrong way that rubs you the wrong way. Oh, boy, I want you to think of that story. It's a true story of Corrie ten Boom and her sister telling her not to hate the one that had just been beaten by the Germans. And we can't even take a little insult or a slight or a little comment, and then we're ready to... You know, you got to remember that is a resistance in you. You know, it comes because we were born in sin. We were born in sin. We're raised in sin. Jesus knows it's there. You know, and he knows why it's there. That's why he shed his blood and he gave us his Holy Spirit so that we can overcome it. So again, we have to recognize the resistance in ourselves because that resistance keeps us from surrendering ourselves to God. Your lesson says, unlike any other leaders we have known on earth, Christ is completely worthy of your submission. Wow. Unlike any other leader. And that's another thing that poisons our minds is people that we've had to submit to before and how they treated us and they weren't fair. And I don't think they really knew that they should have done this to me. And sometimes that poisons our mind when it comes to submitting to Christ because we think Christ is going to do us like those other people did. And he is worthy of your submission. You can trust him even when you don't understand. And even, no, you were not acknowledged. No, you did all that hard work and nobody recognized you. Still submit to him. He's worthy. It's not over yet, folks. It is not over yet. In fact, he's taught me, boy, you know, I've got something for you up in heaven because you did not get the credit for that down here. Oh, man, and then that really gets you going. You're like, oh, man, I don't want anybody to know anything I'm doing. I'm doing everything in secret because I want my reward up there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you get to a point where, you know, you are submitting to him. I trust you, Lord. I'm not going to trust in this world and everything you see. And it's so obvious. Everything in this world depreciates. This world and your time here is coming to an end. You know, that is a fact, people. You know, if you're a non-believer, it's a fact your time is coming to an end here on this planet. So again, we want to submit to Christ because, again, we want to think in the eternal things and not the temporal things. The temporal things depreciate, it passes away. So as we continue on our lesson, we read Colossians 1:18 that says, he is also the head, the life source and leader, the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will occupy the first place. He will stand supreme and be preeminent in everything. Oh, do you get that? He's preeminent in everything you do. It's not just Sunday morning. He's preeminent in your life. It's everywhere, folks. It's everywhere at your work, at your job, in your household. You know, wherever you go at Walmart, he's preeminent. You know, I mean, you think Walmart, yeah, you're going to be polite at Walmart. You're going to let other people go ahead of you at Walmart. The little mama that's got all the kids, you know, but she's got like a 1,000 groceries and you've got 3 things. Go ahead. You can go ahead. Yeah. You know, that kind of thing. You know, just showing all those opportunities you have to show the love of Christ. You know, he is preeminent in everything. So he rules over you, even in Walmart, even at work, no matter what happens. He is preeminent. And you folks, I'm telling you, we're talking about communion. We're talking about communion. How are you going to commune with God? This is how it happens, is that you start, you just, okay, my flesh is resisting this, Lord, but I'm gonna do it. You open up to people. You start find yourself opening up to people. You're not so closed off, you know. You start opening up to people because my life belongs to Christ, and if he wants me to minister to that person, I'm gonna minister. And I'm not talking about quoting them a scripture. I'm talking about just loving somebody. I mean, all around me, I see every day, there's always people just want you to say hi, just acknowledge that they exist, you know. I mean, so many people, you hear them say, nobody even sees me. They ignore me, you know, but can you say hello to somebody? You know, especially the people that, you know, people in wheelchairs in particular. People that I just look, how are you doing? You know, because nobody sees them because they're down a little lower, and you know, but just paying attention. You know, and just seeing all the opportunities around us to submit to God. But that flesh, it'll resist. They're a stranger. Oh, wow. What if they say this, that, or the other thing to me? Yeah, I don't want to touch you. That's another thing. Yeah, I'm telling you. Because you see all the homeless people, you know, that around. There's one guy that just hangs out at our Walmart West all the time. Just hangs out. I mean, he comes in the store and has a seat. But, you know, but just loving people, you know, and just reaching out. And again, this helps us to commune with God because we get in line with his heart because he didn't ignore anybody. Next one of your lessons says, we don't ask him to configure himself around the way we live. No, we bring ourselves up under his authority. Your kingdom come and your will be done in me and my life. That's from our book again. His kingdom come. And remember, we talked about what the kingdom is. The kingdom is the king, which is Christ Jesus, and the loyal subjects, which is us. So that's what that statement, that part of the prayer means. Lord, let me be your loyal subject. We don't have to change the king. We just have to become the loyal subjects. So you must continue to acknowledge that you are a sinner saved by grace. You got to keep that before you. Sinner saved by grace. I'm not all that. Been in Christendom all these years, but I'm still, remember, I'm a sinner saved by grace, and there's still work that God has got to do on me. You have no holiness to offer in your communion. Therefore, you relinquish your will to his holy will. You didn't come into this relationship with God holy. You had nothing to offer. You were a sinner. Okay, he brought everything. So you got to continue to keep that before you, that, Lord, okay, you want to make another change in me. I need to change again. I need to shift again. I need to teach me what you want. Teach me your love. And boy, it's so beautiful when Christ teaches you his love. Boy, and the more he teaches you your love, his love, the more you realize what a rank sinner you are. I remember my sister was telling me, when we had done the book, Andre Murray's book, Humility, and she was telling me, I read the first chapter and I said to myself, I'm not even saved. I don't even know Jesus. She said, I read the first chapter and I was like, this is not, I don't even know him, you know? And it's a very powerful book because it talks about, oh man, it hits us between the eyes on our pride issues. So it's something when you realize how much more you need to learn and how much more you have to grow and you have to always keep before you, I'm a sinner, saved by the grace of Jesus. And he's continually making a difference and making changes in me. The next point in your lesson says, we follow him He does not follow us and we and what we want. Let me say that again. We follow him. He does not follow us in what we want. You don't just go out and do something and say, okay, Jesus, bless this. Bless in Jesus. I'm like, did you even ask him if you should even do that? So that's what you, that's what this means, folks. Communion, understanding what he, that he is leading. Many times, your lesson says, many times we, what we want is detrimental to us and others. Ouch. You know, we don't want to admit that. And that's some one of the reasons why we don't ask. We don't ask God because we know. We kind of know that's not good for everybody. It's good for me, but it's not good for everybody. But, you know, so it's detrimental to us and others. As we cultivate a relationship with Christ, to submit to him is easy. As we cultivate that relationship, because you trust him more. You're having these conversations with him throughout the day, and you're learning to trust him. And folks, I'm telling you, when the scales fall off and you start to see God's movements, oh my goodness, you'll trust him more and more. So Christ, it is easy to submit to Christ, pleasing and even relieving as we take our burdens to him and trust that he will make everything all right. It's a relief, folks. I tell you, you know, I don't know about you, but I just get tired. You know, I run an organization. I get tired of trying to figure out what this person is doing and what that person is doing and who's talking and who's talking, who's going to do. I said, you know, Lord, I'm giving it to you. And it's a relief. I'm just going to be about my Father's business. Amen. And it's a relief because God takes care of it.
Right.
He has taken care of it. I've been running this organization for 18 years now. He's taken care of it. Okay. And I've changed so much through the years with that, because I have found how he will take care of so many things. And it's a relief when I can give things to him and I don't have to carry the burdens of the day and the burdens of what people may be thinking or doing or who's going to stab me in the back and who's going to do that. I just give it to God. Just keep your focus and keep doing what he would have you to do. Even when they do stab you in the back, keep doing what he... I keep hearing that, don't hate, Corey. No, no hate. No hate, Karen. No hate. But, you know, you discover true peace in your communion with God. So that's another side point with God, is that you get your peace, you get relief, and you get peace when you have communion with God. You don't have to carry the burdens of life, but you relieve your heart and soul at the feet of Jesus. Just leave it there. You will be less anxious, and you will be less stressed, and you will be less irritable if you do this. Okay, because on any given day, you're irritable, you're stressed, what's coming, what are they doing now? And you're irritable, you're snapping at people because you're carrying so much that you can give to him. When you have communion, it's easy. Lord, you know what? I'm just going to go into this meeting. I'm not going to even worry about it. I'm just going to go in and just speak through me, Holy Spirit, you know. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be a Christian meeting. I'm telling you, I've heard it. I've been talking to school districts, and I've had to, you know, just go before me, Holy Spirit. Show me what to do. And God loves everybody in that room. And he loves the children I was working. He loved everybody. So you could see how, and the way, you know, the things I said, I'm like, you know what? I'm not even that deep. I'm not that loving. So I know that was Jesus. He gave me what to say. He gave me what to say. You know, and I was like, you know, I remember at this one meeting, this principal said, you know what? That sounds like a good idea. He said, I just met you, but I trust in what this plan you have. And I'm like, okay, all right. And I wasn't sure of the plan myself. I okay, let's do it then. But you'll find that God will show up and he'll help you in ways that you never thought possible. And you'll stand out for because you have submitted yourself, because you have communion with God. They can't pinpoint exactly what makes you different, but you know it's because I'm communing with you, Lord. I'm talking to you. I'm praising you throughout the day, and I'm talking to you in my spirit. And you're relieved of so much. In communion, you come to know that he has your tomorrows. You're not staying awake all night because you know he has your tomorrows. And I'm just going to go in, Lord. I didn't get a chance to prepare like I wanted to prepare. But you know, Lord, I'm going in your name, you know, to do this talk or to do this thing, you know, and God will be with you. He'll go before you. The next point of your lesson says, as we submit to Christ, We become less selfish. Oh my goodness. And more humble.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. And more like him. And we are freed up. Amazingly, when you submit and it should to Christ, you become free and have a peace that surpasses yes. your understanding. That's what Philippians 4:7 is talking about. The peace of God that passes understanding. Even you won't understand why you're at such peace. You don't even understand it. Like, I should be upset. I know 2 years ago, I would have been climbing the walls. But for some reason, I have this incredible peace. It passes your understanding. It's just the opposite of what you experience when you submit to people or when you submit to Satan. You know, sometimes when people that submit to Satan, they don't know they're paying. You got to pay a price. Mm-hmm. You know, you give in to that temptation. You're yes. submitting to Satan. Satan will put you in chains.
Yes.
He will put you in chains when you submit to his temptations. But Christ sets you free when you submit to his love. He sets you free. Linda, good to see you. I think there's a handout. Is there a handout? Any handouts left? Christ sets you free when you submit to him. He sets you free. You know, isn't that, it's just the opposite. Satan, you submit to him, you fall, you give into that temptation. I'm telling you, he will put you in chains immediately. You can feel it. As soon as you did it, you feel the spirit of guilt latch onto you. You know, you feel it trying to latch onto you, and Satan starts whispering in your ears, look at what you did, and you did this, and you did that, because he puts you in bondage as soon as you submit. Unlike our Lord Jesus Christ, when you submit to him, you feel such a relief and such a freedom. I don't have to worry about that anymore. I've given it to the Lord, and I'm going to walk in his will and his way, so I know he's going to take care of it for me. That's where you go with Christ. So it's just different when you submit to Christ. Next point in your lesson says, as we submit to Christ, we become less self. Oh, I read that already. Let's go down to our scripture. The scripture teaches us, and this is 2 Corinthians 3, and it says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty.
Amen.
Emancipation from bondage and true freedom. You know, see, it's just the opposite, because we're like, well, if I submit, they're gonna oppress me, because that's what we're used to in human leadership. But I'm telling you, when you submit to Christ, you're set free. It's so different. Verse 18 says, and we all with unveiled face, continually seeing as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are progressively being transformed to his image, from one degree of glory to even more glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. And that's 2 Corinthians 3:17-18. And I love that he's taken us from glory to glory. When you're in Christ, you're set free from the bondage. And he takes you to a glory. And I was doing a study this week, and they were talking about that glory, you know, your book, that book, the glory, and how, you know, if you're not living in a place of glory, just wait, God's going to take you there. As you grow, you know, sometimes we're living in a situation where we feel oppressed and we feel, oh God, just wait, God's going to take you to glory, because he says he takes you from glory to glory. So when you're in a situation, he's going to lift you up into a glory, but you got to continue the communion. You know, you got to continue the journey with him, because that journey is going to take you to a glorious place in the situation. And then he takes you to another glorious place. So again, it's just a beautiful understanding of that particular scripture in 2 Corinthians 3 about going from glory to glory. And it happens in communion, folks. Communion. Oh, hallelujah. The next point in your lesson, point number 3, prayer is communion with God in order to access and advance his kingdom, power, and glory. That is why we're communion too, is so that we can access him. You know, when you're in communion with God, you can access him, and you can access his power. I mean, it's just a beautiful. So this first point, access. Let's just talk about access. You know, give us, lead us, deliver us are all terms used in the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6. All of these terms refer to accessing the power of God. When you have communion with God, you have access to his power, his kingdom, and his kingdom resources. Do you get that? You have access when you have communion. With God, God's power, all things are possible. He can make the crooked places in your life straight. He can make what was dead alive. He can call birth and prosperity out of what was barren. He can protect and rescue you out of a hopeless situation, all because you have access his power. That's why you want to have communion with God, because you want to, boy, you want to have that prayer line going, talking to him, consulting with him. You know, we've been adopted into the family of God, but it takes time to realize how to access the privileges of our adoption. And again, it goes back to, you know, it's like a poor child that's adopted into a rich family. And usually when that child first comes into the family, they're kind of standoffish. You know, they don't know if I could sit at the table with the rest of the family. Can I have everything that's in the refrigerator? Can I, you know, so they're kind of standoffish, and that's the way we are with God. When we first come into the Lord, we're standoffish with the Father. You know, we're like, okay, I'm saved, I'm coming to church, but, you know, I don't know if I can get involved with everything. I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I could do that. And I certainly can't sit up front with the real saints, you know, the real Christians. I can't sit up there. So we're kind of standoffish with God. We may hesitate to tell him our heart even. God already knows. But we may hesitate in prayer to even talk about certain things, even if it's just us and God. We hesitate. We to access his resources, to access his resources for all we know is how to, I'm trying to read my sentence, my note here. We hesitate to access his resources because we're so used to fending for ourselves. We're so used to doing it ourselves. I can do it. I got it. I was raised that way. You know, nobody was there to help me. So I did it myself. And that's what we do. We come to Christendom. Oh, I got that. I can do this. I can do it. We don't pray about anything. The things that we know, we think we know, we don't pray about because we're so used to fending for ourselves. And we don't realize that we're just like that poor adopted child into the rich family. Oh, I can do that. I have my little suitcase. They come in with their little suitcase and you open the suitcase and you got a little blanket, you know, and don't know the Father's got this beautiful bedroom with a beautiful down comforter and all this. Oh, it's just got beautiful soft pillows for you to sleep on. And you come and you bring your little suitcase and take out your little raggedy blanket. You know, and I'll just sleep on the floor here. Can I just sleep on the floor? You know, but that's the way we do. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to create a picture in your mind of how we do. You're in the Father's house. You've been invited in, but you're not ready to commune with the Father yet. You're kind of standoffish with him and just trying to see can I trust him? Is he going to hurt me like the others hurt me? Everybody else, they hurt me out there. And now you've adopted me, but are you going to do me like everybody else? And that's what goes on in our minds when it comes to God. And that's why we don't release everything. We don't even talk about all those hurts in prayer. We just hold it in. And we just say our little plastic prayers, our superficial prayers. And we don't get deep because we're so used to offending for ourselves. And we know it's true because often we only pray. We pray last in a crisis. We do this, we do that, we do this, we do that, we do that, we do that. And then when the doctor says, there's nothing more we can do, oh, let's pray. Let's have a prayer.
That's so true.
We pray last. Why? When you have the Almighty God, you have access to him, but yet you pray last after you have tried everything. I tried to get alone everywhere. And then I decided I'm going to pray. God, they're about to take our house. Oh, God. Then you're ready to pray. So we know that, you know, you're not accessing, you know, because he should be first. It is only until we spent time with our Father in communion that we feel free to access his power in all situations. And this is not to put anybody down, as I said. We're all on this journey together. We all went down this path, you know, where we didn't, you know, we kind of, well, I don't know. I don't know if I can pray about that. You know, God already knows all about it. Bring it to him in prayer, you know, or I know what he's going to say. Bring it to him in prayer. I'm surprised at what God says sometimes, you know, but he's always so wise. Now, he's not going to ever tell you anything against his word. Let me make that very clear. But the way he brings it, the way he explains, sometimes he explains the why, and he doesn't have to, but sometimes he'll tell me why we're doing it this way, you know, and he certainly doesn't have to, but he does that because he loves us. So we all must learn to trust God on this journey. But you need to be about the journey. Don't be stagnant. Don't be stagnant. You know, like you're just going to stay here with your little superficial prayers and I'm not moving any further. There are Christians that do that. It doesn't take all that. We don't need to, you know, we go to church. We don't need to have Bible study too. We don't need to, you know, participate in the areas of the church, in the departments. We go. We put a dollar in every week. So, you know, and we don't want to go any further than that because we don't want God to grow us up. We have this aversion to it. And again, that's our flesh. But we got to recognize, okay, I got an aversion. God, I got an aversion to you. I'm afraid of what you're going to ask me to do. And tell him. And then he'll say, come on, let us reason together. Let us talk this out. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that. Yeah. Let us talk this out. And boy, by the end, mm-hmm. you can't wait to do what God would have you to do. So access is important, that we access God and learn how to access him and feel free in accessing him. Don't let the guilt of your past keep you from accessing God. Don't let your mistake that you made yesterday keep you from accessing God. The enemy's going to be trying to keep you from doing that and whispering in your ear, but just keep going forward in accessing God. Advance, that's the next piece. Advance the kingdom. You have accessed his power to advance his purpose and kingdom. You advance as you finally grasp the greater purposes of God in the earth. Wow. When we seek first his kingdom, so many other things fall into place. And, you know, that's the scripture. Seek first the kingdom of God and all other things will be added. That's Matthew 6:33. The meaning of life becomes apparent. You don't have to go on a vision quest. You don't have to go on a journey around the world and, you know, hike across the U.S. to find yourself. You know, when you submit yourself to the purpose of God, the meaning of life and the meaning of your life will become more and more apparent to you. You know, he will teach you this is what I put in you. I put these gifts in you because this is the plan I had for your life before you were even born. And God will show you these things so you can advance in life because he will show you the meaning of life and the purpose of life. It becomes more apparent to you both corporately and individually and personally what you're supposed to be doing. Your lesson says as we advance, we pray better, we love better, and we give better. We will see the kingdom of God come in our lives personally and corporately in the world around us. We will see others submit their lives to Christ as the scriptures have spoken, thy kingdom come and the power and the glory forever. Yes. Hallelujah. That will be our motto. Boy, thy kingdom come, thy power, thy glory. You know, you will see that. That will be your motto for life and you will know what God has called you to do and you'll be walking in it and you'll be doing it and you'll be loving it. Trust me, you will be loving it. Communion brings the advancement of the kingdom of God in your life personally, you know. So when we talk about the kingdom of God, you know, I want you to shift from thinking of a whole group of people. Think about just you, the king, and you being his loyal subject. That's the kingdom in your life. Are you his loyal subject? If you're not yet, then acknowledge it and start working on it, okay? Start working on it with Jesus. He is faithful. He will work on it with you. The next point on the lesson says, prayer allows us the priceless privilege not only to know Almighty God better, but to join him in what he is already doing among the nations for his glory. And again, that's from our book as well. As you commune with God, you'll feel genuine joy when a soul comes to Christ, as you will sense the joy in God's heart for that soul. There's something about when you start communion with God, you actually sense his heart. You know, when a soul comes to Christ, you know, and we say that when people are accepting Christ and they're coming down to the front and we all clap. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some of us maybe just be like, okay, I'll clap because everybody else clapping. You know, I'm just clapping because, it's, you know, that's what we do now in church. We're clapping as the people come down. But boy, there comes a point where you really sense the joy. I mean, you almost well up with tears as you see those people coming down because you know it's a place of surrender. And you can sense the heart of God, that he is so overjoyed that they're coming. They're finally coming. You don't even know their backstory. God knows their backstory. But you just see, oh, man, they're coming. Oh, God, look at all these people at the altar. Oh, they're coming, Lord. And you're rejoicing. Sometimes we know when we see our family and our friends come down. And I see family and friends, sometimes they come down together. And it's so beautiful when they come down together. I love when I see whole families coming down. Like we all, mom, yeah, the dad, the mom, the kids. And oh, boy, that just makes my heart just leap. But it didn't always. It was like, okay, we're going to be here another 20 minutes.
I don't know the whole
thing. Because all these people are down here, and I know Pastor Steve going to pray for everybody, you know, so, you know.
You make me laugh.
But that, you know, I'm just saying where we are.
Yeah, right.
Christians, where we are. Mm-hmm. I love talking to Christians, you know, because we need some work.
It's true, though, because you do see people start
like, oh, man, look at all those people at the altar. I hope he does a mass prayer, you know, so, you know, you know, but boy, you know, to be saying, oh, man, Lord, if we need to stay, we'll stay, you know, yeah, I'm kind of hungry, it's time for lunch, but Lord, we'll stay, you know, we'll minister, and we'll do what we need to do. Because these are souls that you love, and I sense your love for them in my heart, you know. And I tell you, it's something when it starts to happen. I'm telling you, you start communing with God, and you're going to find some strange things happening to you. You won't even realize it's happening. You're going to find yourself weeping with people, and you don't know where that came from because you are not a crier, you know. You know, people, I know some people that are criers. I mean, it's like, you know, it's like... You know, I lost my lunch money. Oh, you know, they just cry. But I'm telling you, those cholerics, you stoic ones here, you're going to find yourself welling up with tears because you're communing with God and you're starting to sense his heart within you, Spirit of the living God within you. And you, it will come on you unexpectedly. And you'll know, oh my goodness, I'm communing with him. And embrace it. Embrace it. Because sometimes when it happens, you want to back off. Like, okay, I can't do this. I'm trying to be a professional here. Embrace it. It'll be the best thing you ever did. You need to embrace it. You know, and give, you know, as I said, let him be the supreme, the preeminent supreme person in your life. So you want to advance his kingdom. And when you see his kingdom advance, you're going to have such a joy on it. The next point of your lesson says, our communion with God keeps us on point with him. As we advance his kingdom, we will not get off task, and it should be, or off track as we advance. We continually measure our lives to his as he teaches, encourages, and even rebukes us. Wow. He'll keep us on track. When you're in communion, you're on track. You instantly feel conviction. Now, sometimes you can feel conviction. I mean, sometimes I felt conviction like I shouldn't have done that. Man, I shouldn't have said that. Boy, you know, Lord, I'm just thinking, yeah, you're showing me how that looked. You know, at the moment, I just wasn't thinking, Lord, and oh Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for saying that, for doing that. Show me what I need to do. Even when he rebukes you, but he keeps you on track. And he teaches you what you need to know as you go ahead. That's why you need your daily Bible reading. You need your devotional, because you'd be surprised at how that very devotional will come up later in the day. And God already knew you were going to read it. He already knew, this is your devotional. I'm going to make sure it's this devotional because that's what we're going to run into today. And you have that communion with God, and he'll bring it back. He'll teach you, and he'll encourage you. You know, when your feelings have been hurt, when people have beaten you down, oh, he'll come and he'll encourage you. Say, I'm here. I'm here. No worries. I'm here. I got you. You're okay. It's going to be all right. I mean, you just hear him saying, come on, let's get up. Let's go again. Let's get up, you know. And he will encourage you to go again. And we come to appreciate the guidance of the Holy Spirit. You know, we go from resisting the Holy Spirit to appreciating his guidance. Oh, so many times I'm like, oh, Holy Spirit, I'm so glad you told me to be quiet.
Yes.
You know, I'm so glad I did not say what I was thinking to say. Because a few days later, I find out something about the person I was going to talk to, and it would have crushed them. It would have ruined them, or it would have been the wrong thing to say. It would have been off. It would have been, you know, I'm like, oh, Holy Spirit, thank you for your guidance, you know, your wisdom in keeping my mouth shut. And often it protected you too. He'll protect you by telling you, don't do that. Don't say that. You know, he'll keep you. He'll protect you. You know, don't go there. You know, somebody invited you to some place. You're like, Holy Spirit said, don't go there. You know, and you'll hear the Holy Spirit in your spirit, how he protects and how he keeps us. The next point in your lesson says, when we praise and worship him, we access his blessings. We come to give to him, and he gives back to us. And I love that about praise and worship. You know, you're praising him, but he actually gives back to you. He gives you joy back, and he gives you peace, and he gives you strength for the day. You know, in prayer, we commune with the one who has abundantly, lavishly poured his blessings out on us, and that's from our book. The old song says that we sing back home, the more you give, the more he gives to you. Mm-hmm. You can't beat God's giving, no matter how you try. It's an old, old song we used to sing back home. And I found that to be true. You know, as a child, I used to just sing it. But now as an adult, I'm like, isn't that true? Lord, I'm praising and I'm giving to you, and you just give back. You give back. Just look around the room during praise and worship. The ones that come down to the altar, I mean, they're weeping. You know, they're praising God, but they're weeping because God's doing something for them too. They're getting relief, and they're getting you know, their joy is coming in, and, you know, all of these things, because God always blesses, you know, in communion with him. It is a blessing to you. You know, it's not all about, well, let me do God's work. No, God. Folks, I'm telling you, you get more back, trust me, than you ever give to him.
Yes.
You know, so seek that communion. You know, you want to commune with God. The next point in your lesson, and this is the last segment of this lesson, says prayer is not about prayer. I love that. Prayer is not about prayer. It is about a person, God himself. And that's so good to know that you'll get out of this rote kind of prayer, praying. You know, just all this repetitive stuff that you're not even thinking about. You're just repeating something. But when you think about God himself, the person, that you're talking to a person, do you ever talk to people and you're just, yep, really? Uh-huh. Looking at your watch, you know, not really listening. That's the way we do God. We're just saying, oh, yeah. Now I lay me down to sleep. Pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. But see, prayer is about a person. It's about the person, God himself, you know, and talking to him. You know, your lesson says, when it becomes merely about accessing the provisions and protection of God, rather than knowing and pleasing the person of God, then we're off track. That's from our book. I love that. When it comes about just accessing his provisions and his protection, but not pleasing the person of God, then we're getting off track. If you are serving God merely because of his stuff, I just want your stuff. We've all had friends like that. You know, I just want your stuff. I just want to be with you because you're popular, okay? I don't really like you, but I just want to be with you because you're popular, you have stuff, you know, so that's why I want to be with you. merely because of his stuff, his blessings, and not because of knowing him intimately, you're missing the best part of God. You're missing the best part of God when you do that. If you had a taste of the intimacy of God, you know, when you're tasting the intimacy of God, you're seeking that communion. If you haven't tasted it, seek it. If you're like, okay, I'm still right there with God, I'm kind of superficial with him, seek it. He will come to you, I promise. And how does this happen? Nothing between my soul and my Savior. Start being real with him. Get real with God. He already knows it. So just get real with him and start talking about you and the way you are and your attitude about things and start talking to him. You know, remember the prayer between the Pharisee and the tax collector. And this is why I set all this up, guys. I just wanted to show you guys this video, and all my stuff turned off, but show you this video. I think I just turned that off. And it's from, you may have seen this show, The Bible. And there was this scene that was so beautiful in there. I'm hoping I'm okay. And you guys bear with me and my technology. I thought I was all set up here. And of course, you know how that is. Gonna treat me like he doesn't know me. Okay. Okay, I just want to watch this video. These rehearsed prayers that you're saying all the time, but you want to say prayers from your heart. And the final point on your lesson as we finish this up, those who have sought and tasted of a deeper relationship with God are never the same. And folks, that is a fact. I can tell you that's for true. You're never the same when you have that true relationship with God. They are transformed by his Spirit to a higher realm of existence. You're still walking the earth like everybody else, but your existence is so different on the earth. You see things so differently. You're living in the eternal instead of the temporal. You understand what's important and what isn't important in life. You know what to let go and what not, and what to hold on to. You know, so it changes you. You're in a higher realm of existence. They see the world more clearly as a temporal means to an eternal end. The riches and the status of this life take second place to the riches of the relationship with God and God's purposes too. It's not about, you know, as they say in the world, the one who dies with the most toys wins. You've heard that term? Mm-hmm. The one who dies with the most, like whoever has the most money and the biggest house and the biggest car, you know, but that's such a lie. You know, they don't win. It is about having relationships with God. King David had such a relationship. He passionately said, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good," and that's Psalms 34:8. So, and last comment, have you tasted of God? Because when you taste it, you take it in yourself. You become intimate with anything you eat, you become intimate with because it becomes a part of you. Have you tasted to see, tasted of God, or are you just smelling him? You know, sometimes you're just sniffing around God. You're just sniffing around him. You're not tasting him. You know, you ever smell food? You're not eating it. You're just
not sure you want to eat it.
You know, you're not sure.
But it smells good.
Absolutely. You're not sure you want to eat it, you know, but you're just sniffing around God, but you haven't taken him in. You haven't tasted him. You won't take him into yourself. You won't cross that line over intimacy with him. You know, and again, folks, there's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing. You will not regret it. I'll tell you, you will not regret it. Any comments or questions?
Do you want to be engaged to him, or do you want to be married to him?
Absolutely. There you go again. Yeah. Because marriage, boy, there's a commitment
marriage,
there.
You get everything.
You get everything. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. The two become one.
Right.
Yeah. So it's everything. So any other comments, questions?
Come on. Once we've tasted of him, we only want more.
Yeah.
And he's so big, there's more to want every day.
Yes. You only want more, you know, taste and see that the Lord is good, you know. And, you know, as we talked about a few weeks ago, that's the only way David could describe it.
Mm-hmm.
There was no other way he could describe it except by comparing it to tasting a wonderful meal. You know, and how good it is. You ever, you know, taste something?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you watch some of those cooking shows and they're tasting all this great food.
Yep.
You're like, you know, but you can't, you know, all they can do is say, mmm. That's all they can do, you know. But you have to taste them for yourself.
Even our prayers change the more intimate we become with him. It's no more, I want, but it's what he
wants.
We have his heart. And I think of the scripture of Psalms 2:8 that says, ask of me and I will give you the nations as an inheritance.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, Rita, thank you.
And it even
you.
Says,
That's
even
really
as
good.
Nations in one another Bible says, ask of me and I will give you the heathen as an inheritance.
Absolutely.
Like, so to be a soul winner, that's, I mean, you know, we ask God, what is my purpose? But I think that's our number one purpose is to reach souls for him.
Oh,
because
my goodness.
That's what he came for, to reach out.
That is so good. Boy, I just love everything you said.
Psalms 2:8.
Yeah, that is so true. Because and you'll see it realize itself in your life, because your prayer time won't be just 5 minutes, because you got too many things to pray about. You know, you're praying for people, and I mean you're really praying for them. Your prayer life changes. It's not just this rote stuff and thank you for the day. You know, you're saying, oh Lord, I lift up. I lift up Mary. I lift up Joseph to you, Lord God. Father, you see what's happening, Lord God. Your kingdom come. Your will be done in their lives. And you know, and I say, Lord, let us be a part of the process. That's why we pray. That's why he asks us to pray. He knows what's going on, but he wants you to be a part of the process, because then you will see what he's doing. And your prayers do change. And it's not about give me, bless me, do this for me. It's about other people.
And then he takes care of
doesn't he he takes care of you anyways, you know. And you're praying, and you really learning how to lift people up, how to pray for your family. You know, don't think you know how to pray just because you raised them, or I've been with them all my life and I've known them all my life. You know how to pray for them. Ask God, Lord, how do I pray for them? How do I lift up my sister? I've known my sister all my life, but how do I pray for my sister, Father? What do I speak before you on her behalf? You know, praying for your parents. Oh, my, that's another one. They were here before I. Pray. That's the Lord. I mean, it'll change your prayer shift when you're in communion, because you're praying the heart of God and you're praying the word of God because you're in communion with him. And I'll tell you, you'll be in an hour of prayer and it'll go by like that. And you won't even know it.
Praying for people, I feel, is especially if you're around them a lot, pray for what you see their need is, that they can't even pray themselves.
Yes.
Like, especially if they're ill or something like that.
Yes.
You know, you can pray, like, let's say your son, and you say, watch over him, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. But if you see that little need that maybe they don't want to pray for themselves.
Yes, absolutely. And the Holy Spirit will show it to you. Mm-hmm. So you can say, you need to pray over this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, wow. Oh, wow.
There's this movie I've been wanting to see. It's called Tortured for Christ.
And what's it called again?
Tortured for Christ.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a new one. It's been out. And I didn't want to see it, and I happened to come across it to see if it was out there on my website, and I did find it.
Uh-huh.
So I was going to open it at my house to anybody that wants to come and see it next Sunday.
Okay,
You're more than welcome to come, and aww, I'll save it for that particular afternoon we can get together and visit your stories about a missionary and his wife.
Okay. That's okay, bring a little piece of note, a flyer.
Yeah,
yeah.
So I'm going to open my house tomorrow, so everybody can come. No, not tomorrow, but next Sunday.
Next Sunday.
Yeah.
Not tomorrow. It's next Sunday. We can't come tomorrow, okay? We have to wait. Okay.
Next Sunday. Now, I think about 2 o'clock would be good, or brought to church, or whatever.
Okay. Awesome.
I have a friend, we've been friends for like 1,000 years, mm-hmm, and every time something happened in her family, she'd call me, come and pray for us. And I'd tell her, you pray too, you know, but she was a Catholic, and nothing against Catholics, but she just, well, you have more faith kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Well, when her husband was dying, she called me, and I prayed. And then her son was dying, she called me and I prayed. And over the years, you know, we've talked about the Lord, and she says, but I'm not like you, you know, and this, that, and the other. Well, the other day I got news that she was dying. And so I called her daughter, she stayed with her, and I started talking to her, and I said, tell your mom how much I love her. She said, no, you tell her. She says she still understands. She couldn't talk, but she still understands. So while she was taking the phone to her mom, you know, Holy Spirit, please, Holy Spirit.
Yes, yes.
Well, I got emotional, told her how much I loved her. And then I know it was Holy Spirit, and I can't remember all the words I said, but I said, Lolly, Jesus loves you, you know. And mm-hmm, and I asked her to invite the Lord into the house tonight. And I told her that
she went home. Wow.
She always went to you knowing you.
Yeah.
That was so good.
Oh, thank you. I want to pray for you. Thank you.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you.
Awesome. All right. Okay, anybody else before we pray? Okay, let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness.
Yes.
Oh, Lord, we thank you for the privilege of communion, Lord God. You are amazing. You are almighty. You are all-knowing. You are all, omnipresent. But yet, you want to have communion with me. And you want to have communion with us, Lord God. Father, I thank you for that, Lord God. And I pray that we would take advantage of our access to you, Lord God. Father, that we would not let it just sit aside, Lord God, while we deal with the woes of the world on our own. Oh God, that we would invite you into every aspect of our lives, Lord God. Father, we would invite you into our good times and our hard times and our bad times, our joyous times, Lord God, that we would make you a part of our family, Lord. You have adopted us into your family. Oh God, let us embrace you into ours, Lord. Father, we just thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Father, I pray you teach us what it is to commune with you, Lord God. Sometimes we don't know how to get started. We don't know how to do it. But Lord, I pray for each and every person in this room. Oh Lord, that you would teach us even greater communion with you. Speak to us, Lord God. Minister to us, Lord God, as only you can minister. There are things that we know only the Holy Spirit can do for us. Oh, Lord, so we just thank you and we praise you. And, Lord, we expect it. We're looking for it. And we thank you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.